Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. This is Jackie Cation. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com, just for the fun of it. And AllThingsComedy.com is the podcast network that I am part of. They have a bunch of podcasts over there if you're looking for new pods to listen to by comics. But if you just go to JackieCation.com, that's where absolutely everything is. The donation button, if you want to donate to the Dork Forest, if you enjoy the show, throw me some money. But if you do enjoy the show and you don't have money, don't worry about it. Just there are other ways to support the show. If you buy stuff from Amazon, and everyone does, use the portal on JackieCation.com and buy that way, and then it all comes back to me. But it isn't more expensive to you. So there is that. The donation button, the Amazon banner. There's a merch page. The merch page has all my stuff on it. CDs, the DVD, the hard copy of This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, which is my hour downloadable for $5, is available as a hard copy for $20, less if you get it as part of a bundle. And there's a bunch of t-shirts. There's Dork Forest t-shirts. There's Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts. All of them are union made here in the United States of America. So they run big because union members here in the United States of America also run big. Almost everyone does. Other than that, let's do the credits. Patrick Brady will fix this audio. Bless him. Also on JackieCation.com is my stand-up schedule if you are over in the UK. And you can check that out and find out where I'm playing. If you want me to come to your town and I am not listed in your town, find the comedy venue in your town and say, I request Jackie Cation, and put a link to my website. And then they will watch me do stand-up comedy. And hopefully then they will bring me to do stand-up comedy. And you can also email me so that I know that you've done that. And you can email me at jackie@jackiecation.com. So, other than Patrick Brady fixing the audio and then me putting a weird ad in the middle of it all, let's talk about Vilmos. He does the website, jackiecation.com. If you need website work, hook it up with Vilmos. He's in the notes. And Mike Rickberg composed the theme song to The Dork Forest. He sings it with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen. Mike will sing again at the end his lyrics to the Mexican Hat Dance. Enough of this. Let's get into the show. Thanks for listening, you guys. Hey, Rangers. This week's sponsor is Gen Con. It's a board game convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. Their slogan is, and this is true, the best 4 days in gaming. This year, it's July 30th through August 2nd in Indianapolis, Indiana. The badges are discounted $10 prior to June 14th, and you can get them online at gencon.com, GENCON.com, or via will call, pick up at the door. There's like 16,000 events and 350 gaming companies on site. There's literally something for every gamer. Andy's gone for 2 years in a row. He's going again this year. He'll do play testing. And everybody play tests new games. You can meet people and play old games. You can just meet people. The greatest thing about this convention is that more people weren't standing in line to go to a panel. This is a convention where people are actually playing games, and it's really, really fun. They're expecting a little more than 60,000 gamers this year, making it the largest, longest-running game convention in North America. And it's just really fun. It's GENCON.com. I'm going to go. There's going to be a live Dork Forest. It is July 30th through August 2nd. Come and play games, you guys.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm back in my living room after a lovely weekend in Portland, Oregon. I'm sitting here. We've known each other for some time, Retta.
It's been a minute.
We've known each other.
How long has it been?
At least 15 years.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I've been here for 17 or something like that.
Okay, we might have came together.
Oh, yeah? Wait, when did you move here?
I think 96 or 97.
97. I moved here in January of 97.
I might have been January. I was very drunk.
Where'd you come from?
I came from Minneapolis.
Right. North Cackalack. Drove cross country.
What is North Cackalack?
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. We have listeners in North Carolina who perked up at that and went, oh, my God. Someone from North Carolina got out.
Mm-hmm.
And were you into NASCAR as a child?
I was not. Still not?
Still the Dakar racing of the world is not something you're interested in?
But I'm fascinated by it.
by all of it.
By the fact that people have to open their mouths when the cars go by.
Why?
Because it's so loud, you have to get like a...
Pop your ears?
Mm-hmm, you have to, I think that you feel too much vibration. I think that's what they said. And so you have to open your mouth when the car is, when all the cars speed by.
That's why they look dumb.
It's crazy.
Safe space. When the next stock car racing door comes on, I'll take that back. I went to a lot of stock car races as a kid. I had a cousin who owned a stock car racing circle. And then
a circle? Is that the track?
That's a track. I called it a circle. My house is what it was. So we're recording this in four stereo. It's a little fancier than necessary because we're just going to be me and you talking. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hear your heartbeat at the level. Retta, people might know you from Parks and Rec.
They might.
You were on that television program with the funny peoples. Mm-hmm. One of them.
They may know me also from the one episode of Moesha I did. You don't know.
Right. They may know you from your extensive stand-up career, rocking colleges all over America in the early 2000s.
They may know me from doing a panel on some random VH1 show.
You were on the Kroll Show. You did Key and Peele.
I did.
Mm-hmm. It's you played what I usually get typecast as, which is the airport cop.
Yes, I did a little TSA agenting. I'm often called in to be a parking enforcement, a receptionist,
Sure. Nurse,
usually nurse receptionist.
Nurse receptionist.
Yes,
I could do that.
I get that often.
I sometimes get PTA mom, and then I get massage therapist. So
massage therapist.
Foreign.
Russian, I'll bet.
German.
Because
of the show.
Got it.
And so I was like, what is your dorkdom, Retta? Because you did a live episode many moons ago. And so you said, well, I don't think we watch the same television shows. Nobody watches the same television shows. There's too many shows. We're in a golden age of television. And even in a golden age of crap television, what do you watch?
Right now, I'm really into... The Good Wife has just surpassed Scandal for me.
Soap opera...
Yes.
Politico moments. Correct?
So.
Lady leads.
Yes, lady leads. I love a lady lead. So, The Good Wife, Scandal, Orphan Black.
Okay.
I'm behind on House of Cards, Orange. I'm behind on Orange is the New Black.
Have you watched both Empire Boardwalk Empire, and Empire?
I've watched Empire.
Okay.
I've watched the first couple of seasons of Boardwalk.
Okay.
But what's Empire Boardwalk?
I think I was mixing it. Wasn't it called Boardwalk Empire?
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Yes.
So
I've seen parts, like the first two seasons of Boardwalk Empire, but just couldn't keep up.
Right. There's no way to keep up. And so
there isn't.
You like a drama. You like an hour-long drama.
I do.
Where, are they funny?
Yes. I mean, Empire is fucking hilarious.
Is it?
Oh, my God. I think anybody can get into Empire. I think even if you think, I'm not really into that nighttime soapy.
Yeah.
There's enough comedy in it that you'd be like, okay, I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Fair enough.
Even if it's like foolishness of just the foolishness of what they say. And
it's goofy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've always enjoyed a dramedy.
Yes. Yes. I like a good dramedy myself.
I'm literally watching, I believe, 2.5 television shows right now. So.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Nobody's. I'm trying to read some books.
Yeah.
I'm trying to catch up on the written word. And
I have so many books to read.
Right. There's just a stack of them, and I feel pretty proud of myself that I've actually made a bit of a dent.
My microphone has not been on.
No.
For the last 5 minutes. Thank you, God. It was 5 minutes.
Is my microphone on?
Your mic is on.
Okay.
It's the reason why I kept checking the different input checks. Allow me to make a note here at 5 minutes to remove this conversation, which is fascinating only to me. Luckily, we have some talk of, which I think it'll be all right. I think some of that Empire stuff will work. some of that. So here's the real one anyway. We'll get back to television. I'll talk about television for the rest of my life. But what about handbags? What about purses? What about a clutch? What do you like about?
What about a clutch?
What
crossbody?
Crossbody. What do you think about a messenger bag? How do you feel about carrying your items in some sort of receptacle?
I am a big fan of handbags. I have.
Do you like do you like a long thing or do you like a short thing?
Okay, I prefer generally a crossbody.
Okay,
however. I have these short-handled bags. I have a lot of them now because I've...
Because you have a car and you're not walking the streets of New York?
No, I think it's because the brands that are making the bags that I like, the ones I like the most are the short...
So they don't strap. Have a long strap?
No. Well, this one actually does have one you can attach.
Both.
But it's not as cute because the bag is so structured. It's not cute when the bag is really structured.
Okay, so the crossbody, we're talking a longer dealy bob,
a strap,
and
dealy bob.
I'm pretty girly. Let's talk about it. Do you know Erin Foley? Erin K. Foley, stand up comic, does a joke about how she wanted this perfume. An Armenian lady offered her some perfume over at the Macy's, as will happen, and she was like, with the perfume, you'll smell like a woman. And Erin's like, finally. And she's like, and with it, you will get a free handbag. Look at the bag. Look at the purse. And she's like, well, actually, I don't carry a purse. Uh-huh. And the woman's like, why don't you carry a purse? Where do you put your things? And she's like, in my pockets. And she's like, in your pockets like a man?
Ma'am.
And she's like, no, like a lady with pockets. And that's the name of her album. Everyone should go out, get the Erin Foley.
What,
anyway.
A lady with pockets?
Lady with pockets is the name of her comedy album. But I never carried a purse. Mm-hmm. And then I started carrying a JanSport backpack like I was a 14-year-old boy. And
eighth grade.
Right. And it kind of led me to a purse situation. Have you always been a purse person?
Relatively, yes. I didn't really carry a purse in school because I did have a bag. Mm-hmm. So I didn't
double up.
Well,
like in high school and college, there's always a backpack to put things into.
Right. But in college, I started using nice bags.
Oh, nicer.
I wanted cute messenger bags.
Right,
such.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what... So that's what happened is college happened and you're like, I want this to be a better looking situation.
Well, yeah. And also in college, I noticed girls with bags like Coach was very popular when I was in college.
Yes.
And I had purse envy. I could never afford a Coach bag. Those big bucket ones, which are actually, they're back.
They're back
Coach
now.
Has brought them back. I mean, I'm not as pressed about it.
Yeah.
A friend of
mine
was saying how she was like, I have to get it. She's like, I always wanted it. I didn't get it. Couldn't afford it. And now that it's, I believe
now
it's
that
back,
I'm an adult,
she wants to get it.
And she's going to get it. The first I was given, I didn't even know about brands when I went to college. So one of my friends, her mom gave me a coin purse and it was a Coach coin purse. And I had never had, I was like, coin purse.
A change purse.
Frank Burns in MASH had one. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid and I saw it because it's one of the ones that, like, old ladies.
With the snap on the top.
It was like, snap, says no to pickpockets. Click. And that was his line from that TV show. And but the crazy thing is I had that and it turned me on to a world of Coach. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted a Coach bag, but they were $300 or some damn thing.
Yeah.
And then I moved here, and I got a friend in acting class whose mom every year would give her a purse, and it was usually a Coach bag, and it was usually a crossbody, and she only liked clutches. She only liked shorter handles, so she would.
That's different. Short handle is different from a clutch.
Okay. Oh, clutch has no handle.
Yes.
Okay.
Clutch has no handle. Clutch you. Throw up under your armpit.
Oh, there you go. And you're walking around like I don't know, the Devil Wears Prada. So I have like two or three of these very beautiful Coach bags that her mom gave her for Christmas that she couldn't ever tell her, first of all, that they were Jews.
Well, I want to see them.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll happen.
Are they they're from college?
No, they're from like 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So you tell a nice handbag story. I'll go get a purse.
Yes, I was very into the bucket, but I couldn't afford it. I started using coaches. I think I started buying them when I had my first job, maybe. I worked as a chemist in North Carolina. So I started buying them then. So I was a coach gal then. That was my jam. And then I went on vacation to Europe with some good friends. I went to Italy with some friends.
Nice.
And Gucci had a sale while I was there. And I bought my first Gucci bag. And that's when I became a Gucci girl. And I would buy one a year.
Was it a real Gucci?
Yeah, yeah. I went to a Gucci store.
You went to a Gucci store in Italy?
In Italy.
Because I was recently in Hong Kong and there seemed to be a lot of things
available.
Yeah, not as much.
No.
Not as nice. Anyway, so this is the one I like the best and I use all the time.
Okay, yes.
And
very, that was a very popular...
black... and it's just big enough to carry like a notebook if you're a comic. Mm-hmm. And then, and it isn't too big and it's got a long cross. Is this a cross?
Yes. For you, it's a good size. That would be a little short for me.
All right. And then,
That's a good one.
This is a good one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, it can be yours because I never use it.
No, I don't. I'm off a coach now.
You're off.
Yeah,
that's right. You've moved on to other worlds.
Yes.
Worlds. Well,
so I became a Gucci girl.
Right.
On my trip to Italy. And so I would buy one once a year. And And now I've broadened a little bit. I'm not as into Gucci.
Right.
I'm into Louis now.
Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton and
I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of accessories, not just handbags, right?
They make all do, yeah.
Do they all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Coach, my niece got a pair of sneakers. And I was like, they look like Vans. And you could have got Vans. They were $32.
Right.
She said they weren't that much, and I was like, "All right, you're 17. You don't know what money is."
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
And so, but that's. I mean, do you like? So this one is very structured.
Yes.
And so this is
And I tend to.
And is it a Louis or is it?
That's a Louis. Yes.
That's a Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's got a checkerboard pattern.
Yes.
Is that the key?
It's no. It's this is my first Louis that is of the brown leather family. They do the ones that have the LV monogram.
Okay.
I don't like those because everybody in LA has them.
Oh, fair enough.
So they're very, to me, they're uniform.
Right.
So the checker, this was a new shape and the checker, I don't see it as often in LA.
Okay.
But my favorite Louis is the Vernis. The Vernis is the...
How do you spell that?
Vernis. And it is a patent leather embossed. So it's embossed with the monogram all
right.
over it.
Oh, okay.
And it's patent leather. So I have a bunch of those.
So it kind of has a quilted kind of feel to it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's neat.
And this has a texture, too. The other ones don't. You can feel that one. That has a texture. Yeah.
But I like a leather bag.
Yes.
If I'm going to have a bag because...
They're all leather. I don't know. I don't know that all of their bags are leather, but the ones that I have, they're much leather.
You went with leather? Because some of them, there's a cloth bag or there's, and they get dirty
like
so fast.
Well, just, I beat it up. And so I'd get a hole in it and I'd be pissed.
Right. I'd be so mad. And I'm like, I'm going to need someone to die for this. And if it's going to be an animal and I'm going to want some skilled labor really going at it. And then I will give you, I guess, several hundred dollars or whatever.
Several.
Yes. Hopefully not seven. But one day when I have the disposable income that allows me to feed the world and then get some sort of, because I think I was just talking about this. We were in Hong Kong with Andy and he enjoys a dapper piece of clothing.
Which Andy?
The fella you met, my husband.
Oh, your husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, we went to this fancy shirt shop, probably not called that.
Uh-huh.
And, but there was a silk, what could only be called a blouse, a male blouse for $4,500.
Oh,
and it
nice.
Looked amazing. It was beautiful, beautiful workmanship. It was a super cool pattern. Not a chance. I think that was the down payment I put on my new vehicle.
Right.
So I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do.
I usually do one.
You treat yourself to one a year.
One a year.
And you make a good living. And the thing is, my sister's a financial advisor. She's like, you should treat yourself to the thing you want
mm-hmm.
and not nickel and dime yourself.
Right.
and then be kind of ashamed or half-assed about it. She's right. Like, get the one nice thing you want.
Right.
Don't get 30 of them and put yourself in debt.
Well, yeah.
Get the one nice thing.
I have plenty of them, but I do get them.
Right.
Every once in a while I'll buy two. And if there's like a sale on some things, because now I've branched out a little bit. And when I was in, I went to Ireland for New Year's and I bought a YSL bag and it was my first YSL.
Now what does YSL stand for?
Yves Saint Laurent.
Yves Saint Laurent.
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
So that was my, my first YSL. It's a clutch.
Okay.
And so it's cheaper. It was a little bit cheaper than the bags that I normally get. But I told myself that I'm obsessed with bags. So every time I see one I like, I will, you know, I'm always like, these are too expensive. It's too expensive. And I'll walk out and then I'll be thinking about it and I'll be thinking about it. If I walk out of a store and I'm still thinking about the bag, if I leave the mall and I'm still thinking about it, just buy it.
Yeah, it's just turn around and go back.
Because I've gone there. I've gone where I'll be like, no, it's too expensive. I can't do it.
Right.
And then I finally talk myself into getting it.
Yep.
Go back and it's gone. And they, you know, and some of their things are seasonal, so you can't get them.
Right. Then you can't get it again.
Yeah.
I had a guy out a couple of years ago who collected action figures, and he spent $16,000 on an action figure. So
on one
action
Wowzers.
Figure.
Uh-huh.
And it was. But it was the action figure he wanted.
Right.
And he said he had been looking for it for about 16 or 17 years.
Right.
And then he finally got it. And I was like, well, it's your 17 grand. Right. Man, do whatever you want to do with it. You know, and it's something that he has children that he feeds them.
And that's the thing. And, yeah. If it's your thing, it's your thing. It's like, as long
it's
as
your
it's
dorkdom.
Not. Yeah, yeah. As long as it's not. Because I'm going to admit this story. I mean, my friends know.
Right. But and this is the safest space in the world.
My friend and I, we started working out in July and then after we did a pool workout, then we would go and sit in the hot tub.
Okay.
So after we finished the pool workout and I had my phone with me and I went to the bathroom, and while I was in the bathroom, I was on my phone and I saw an email come through that had an estate sale and there were a lot of handbags on it.
And
so I just went through it quickly.
Yep.
And I saw a bag that I wanted,
mm-hmm.
that I've been wanting. I couldn't afford the real price.
For a thousand generation, right.
Yeah, the real price. I couldn't afford it.
Yep.
And
but
it
here's
was,
an estate sale.
And it was in such great condition. And so I was like geeking out, and it was the color that I wanted.
Oh my gosh.
So I ended up, I was like, oh my God, I got to get it right now. Because on those sites, like it was on Outlook, it's on those sites. Once people, they put it in their cart, because there's only one, then it's not available. So it'll say in a cart. So unless if the person buys it, they have 15 minutes to buy it.
Okay.
And if you don't buy it in 15 minutes, then it comes out of the cart and then it's available again. It wasn't in a cart. I put it in and I bought it immediately.
Right.
While I was in the bathroom.
Well, you
That's
were
how
the,
quickly it
that,
happened.
Right, right. And I thought, here's my thing about bathroom use and the telephone. I'm on my iPad all the time. Don't worry, folks. I'm pretty clean. It's all working out. I think we're all pretty clean. I don't mind the surfing of the internet on the toilet. I don't mind the reading of books on the toilet.
Right.
Here's what I don't approve of.
What?
Any sort of phone conversation whilst you're doing your business. And it happens. It's everyone.
I talk to my mom all the time. And she's like, you don't respect me.
You don't. You do not. It is. I literally flush the toilet like 20 times, and I should be Paul Atreides here in a dune like existence here in Los Angeles because we're in a drought. But I'm like, you're in the bathroom. Stop talking to somebody else. But it's all ages. I thought it would just be like fucking kids is what I thought it would be. And of course, it's all women because I'm in the women's room.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
Oh, well, no. I don't do it in public.
Public restrooms.
No.
Oh, thank you, God.
Hell no.
There. That's my line, ladies and germs.
Only, yeah. And honestly, the only time it would happen in a public restroom if, you know, if when you're traveling, like, and I'm thinking airport, and there's some kind of thing, like, it has to do with your travel and you have to get, that's the only time I would talk on a phone in
my
bathroom.
Next time you're in an airport and you're in a bathroom, just have a listen. Have a listen. Yeah, why not? Because it's happening and it's all ages. And it's all
That's
religions.
So
it's all colors and
That's
creeds
so
and eight.
That's
and I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are a 57-year-old Chinese lady.
Mm-hmm.
I will fucking call you on it because I am the boss of the world.
Yeah, you are.
And I've actually only done it once. And then I didn't do it again because you never know with strangers. They might get really mad.
It's really weird.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. I don't really pay attention, but I don't want to be that person. I definitely don't want to be that person.
The only time one of my brothers took a call when he was on the toilet, and he told me he was on the toilet, and I was like, then I will call you back. Nothing is this important, Philip Cation. Oh, wrap it up. Don't answer the phone.
Wrap it up. I talk to my mother all the time at home.
Right, at home. It's between you and your mother then.
And she's like, tell me you're on the pot. I'm like, this is my free time. This is mommy time.
You were there at the beginning, Mom. You knew me when I first learned how to do this. Exactly. I thought we could revisit you relearning how I do. Guess what? I'm pooping. You know, when you're a little kid and you want to tell your parents.
Exactly. Exactly. That's ridiculous
and hilarious. But I don't have a problem at all with ordering crap while you're on the... Yeah. My iPad, I'm surprised it's not in my hand right now because it is almost always in my hand.
It's a bit of an addiction. But here's the thing. So after I leave the bathroom, I go into the hot tub. My friend and I always go into the hot tub after we work out. And my heart was racing.
Oh, because you were like, I own this now.
I just ordered this thing. But my heart was racing and I get in the hot tub. And she's like, I was like, oh my God, you won't believe what I just did. And he's like, what? I was like, I just spent $15,000 on the toilet. And she's like, What
happened? What handbag is $15,000?
It's an Hermes Birkin bag.
Okay.
It's normally $35,000.
What are those words? Hermes.
Hermes. H-E-R-M-I-S is
Okay. Oh, is like a Spanish name that means like Howard or something.
French. H-E accent aigu over the...
Aigu. Okay. H-E-R.
M-E-S.
Oh, like Hermes.
Yeah.
But French, clearly, Jackie. Okay. And then Hermes. And then what was the other one?
It was a Birkin. That's the style. B-I-R-K-I-N.
As opposed to a gherkin, which is a pickle. Yeah, I don't mean
a Birkin can get you in a gherkin.
Anybody. And what color was it? And how big was it?
It was Hermes orange.
It was Hermes orange.
It is Hermes orange.
And it remains.
And she's beautiful.
And you trot her out for special occasions?
Yes. When I first got her, I took her out. And my friends were like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Yes.
And then I put her on the shelf and I was like,
those are the best friends that recognize the thing that you, like I have other nerdier things that I'm like, they're like, is that a sting? Like the sword from Lord of the Rings. Anyway, you have people that recognize a handbag.
Yes. And I mean, cause I told them it was coming and they're like, is it here yet? And I remember when I opened the box and I saw it, and you know, they all come in their own like dust bag. And so I opened up the Hermes dust bag and pulled it out. And it's so well made and it's so thick. It's heavy as shit because it's really,
really?
Heavy leather. Yeah.
Is it sort of like double thick leather?
I mean, compared to and Coach does good leather. It's
It's thicker than
three times heavier than that.
Oh my God.
Not so much thicker, but it's just so much heavier.
And that's
it's
one of the reasons I never carry that thing.
Because it's heavy.
It's already heavy.
Yeah.
If I put items in it, it will become heavier.
Yeah.
And then I'm just lugging things around, and I have a car for that. So that's what I thought you were going to say no longer with the shoulder strap that you're doing the short handles because you have a car, a person.
No.
And you're not hiking around.
No, it's just the ones that I find are cute. But again,
that is a really cool looking bag.
It's because I tend to like the structured bag, and they don't look good on a strap.
Right.
Because they bounce. You know, they hit you.
Yeah, they're structured, so they're.
Yeah.
It's like a backpack. You could wear it as a backpack, but that would be super weird.
Yeah.
And so the handbag. So that first of all is the greatest story about handbags ever, and I like it so. I'm gonna have to edit this part too as I slow the fuck down. What else you want to talk about? You got more handbag stories?
I had an article. I wrote an article about my handbags for Essence magazine. Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And I did a photo shoot with my handbags.
That is very beautiful. Nobody's ever asked me to do a photo shoot with my swords.
No.
Nobody's ever said, I understand your order.
I'm sorry. How many swords do you have?
I just have the one. Oh. But Andy has several. And so, and we also have a prop from Xena the Warrior Princess, a spear that he went to the prop sale, which is why he has several swords and scabbards. Wow. But he, one of the first gifts he gave me was a sting, and it lights up and it makes the noise when you hit things with it. And it's
you know,
quite fun.
You know, I know Xena.
Oh, do you know Lisa Lawless?
Yes, Lucy Lawless is...
do you know Lisa Lawless, her sister?
I don't know Lisa.
Fuck me.
I feel like...
it's a classic Cation moment. Do you know Elvis Wesley? Are you familiar with the work of Keith Dixon? No. Anyway.
Yeah, she was on our show. She was on Parks.
That's cool.
She played Ron Swanson's girlfriend and wife.
Okay.
And so I've met Lucy, and she's lovely.
She seems very nice and kind of funny.
Yeah.
And really silly. Self-aware of...
But wait, she's from New Zealand, right?
Right.
Yeah, New Zealanders and Australians, they're very...
It's because there's only 12 of them, so they can't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, they're pretty much good-natured people, and they like a laugh and a cocktail.
Except for the racists. I did a 10-week run in Australia, and there was, by the time I got to Perth, I was like, everyone's been great, except for the people that keep complaining about the Aboriginals.
Oh, really?
And I was like, you gotta wrap it up. That's my suggestion.
You were there for 10 weeks?
Yeah.
But how was that?
Like 10 years ago. It was a 10-week run.
Wow.
It was amazing. Quite honestly, every year I offer to do it again. Every year. Nobody's taking me up on it.
I know. I did a show in Amsterdam years ago, and I'm like, you gonna call a bitch back?
Anybody? A girl likes to be asked, and I will actually send you the invitation that you would just send back to me. No. I'm willing to self-address stamped envelope. I know, because there's gigs that are so cool that you want to just do them again.
Yeah.
But it turns out, so does everyone else.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to do the gigs, and you're like, I get it. But, you know, it's not like, and I love Ari Shaffir and Eddie Ift and all the people who get to do it every year, but I'm like, you know, this guy's real nice. Anyway, what about me? No, you don't want to see me too? That would be great.
And what about me?
I've been to Australia a couple of times and it was amazing. And everybody, I've never been to New Zealand though.
I've never been either.
I'd like to, I recommend Melbourne. I recommend Great Barrier Reef before it all goes away. Mm-hmm. And then weirdly enough, on the West Coast, which they are very funny about because they're like, it's so far away from everything that we don't think that the comedy scene is fascinating there. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. The comics are smart and super innovative because, in my opinion, they are doing comedy and they assume no one is watching. They're essentially dancing as if no one was watching. So they are doing whatever they think is funny.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all very different and interesting and super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, I don't know if anyone would like it. I'm just going to go do this thing. And you're like, yeah, it's amazing. You weirdo. and they genuinely think they're so far away from the rest of the world, but everyone has the telephone and the internet. So I don't know why they, and so everything was super expensive in Perth. Perth is like a giant mall.
You would love it, except for
that you should go to Melbourne or Sydney, which is a giant mall and it's 20% cheaper because they don't have some psychological problem because the airplane just flies right there to Perth from Hong Kong or China or wherever things are being produced. I mean, it's right freaking there, right? And so...
What's been spinning in my head just now when you said on the West Coast?
Oh, yeah.
I've never gotten clarity on... Is the West Coast always, you know, to the left of the North and South line in whatever country you're in? I've always been confused. Like when you turn the globe, is the West Coast always to the left when you're looking at it?
It's always going to be to the left.
Always. I wasn't sure if there was like a line.
This sounds like a very kind of question I would totally fucking ask.
You know?
Because it's always what happens is North and South are always the same, right?
So and the west is always going to be to the left.
You're always spelling we. West to the left and east to the right. So you're always spelling the word we.
Gotcha.
West, east. There was a very famous newlywed game episode where the newlyweds are out. And what's his name? Now right wing, bit of a nut job on Twitter, would ask the question, in your neighborhood, ladies, like all the women are out. And I fucking hate the word ladies. The only thing worse than the word ladies for me is the word female. It makes me want to stab myself in the eye.
Really?
Yeah, just the word woman. Woman would be good. I don't mind ladies a little bit, but
but female. I feel like ladies is more, you use ladies when you're talking to people.
Right.
And you use women when you're talking about people.
Right. But you can use the word women when you're talking to people too. It's like, this is like in the standard comedy thing, you're like, ladies, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You could say, women, I have a question for you.
Yeah. See, it sounds weird to me.
Right. I want to reclaim
the
word women.
Like, you
want to
change it.
Yeah. I want it back. Because it feels, because it's like comedian. I hate the word comedian. If you're going to diminutize what I do, please call me a comediette.
Okay.
And then put some strings on me and make me dance. Anyway.
I used to use comedian too. And I was like, it's a dumb word to me.
It's a comic. Comic cannot be turned into comicette.
Yeah.
Comedian is fine too. Mm-hmm. But comedian can so easily be turned into comedian that I tend to shy away from it. Anyway. Could have been telling a story. Forgot about it.
This is my fifth episode
in 4 days.
You wanna reclaim women?
Right. We were before that. It was some story about probably Australia and
could have been
New Zealand. I don't know. Where do
about
I want to go
comics.
Next?
I don't know.
And anyway. So, let's look at some time code for another cut. Anyway, let's look at all of this. And the crazy thing is there's only 4 channels in Australia.
TV?
TV.
Shit.
You can have, it's like the 70s. I did a TV show in the first week of my run. 9 weeks later, across the continent, a child recognized me.
I can top you.
Do that.
I can
please
top
do.
You. I did, like I said, when I talked about going to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I did a stand-up show, and they edited it. Sorry, guys, I'm eating cashews.
Sure. They're free. They're right in front of us.
They edited it and air it the next day.
Oh, that is quick turnaround.
They're at the next day. So by that night,
the
I
night
got
of
recognized,
the next day.
The night that it aired.
Right.
I got recognized in the McDonald's, and I got recognized the next day on the train, like going to buy my train ticket to go. We shot in Rotterdam. I was staying in Rotterdam.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to meet Dwayne Perkins.
Okay.
In Amsterdam.
Great comic. Hasn't been on the show, I don't think. Anyway, it's
got
to come.
And I got recognized the night it aired and the next morning by the people who were selling me the train ticket.
Weird thing, though. I still think my story better because it was 9 weeks later and it was a child on the street, mm-hmm. an empty street of Perth, 9 weeks after it aired.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he...
Nine weeks after.
Right. The facial recognition that had to stay in his brain...
Mm-hmm.
When the
well,
fact
clearly
is,
he thought you was hilarious.
I didn't even do stand-up. It was panel.
Oh, really?
It was weird. It was called The Glass House, and it was a panel thing, and it was kind of riffing, mm-hmm. and then that was what it was. So, but the TV situation was pretty grim down there. There wasn't because they do have an excellent rule where that you have they. Because it's easier to buy U.S. television than it is to make your own television in other countries.
Yeah.
So they have, by law...
I mean, that's what syndication is here.
Right. And it's... But by law, they have to have a certain percentage, and I don't know what that percentage is, of locally made television programs.
Mm.
So that local actors and local industry
get
supported.
Right.
And so... I think I saw something Zach Galifianakis was on where he was on some sort of procedural. He was on
really?
It was the weirdest TV show. There was only probably like 7 or 8 episodes, but I was looking at it going,
you mean
is
it was
that?
It was an American show.
It was an American show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember.
And they aired
was he like was it like a work
he
in
was
a
like
hospital?
A lawyer? or an, he might have been an admin guy in the hospital. Mm-hmm. He was wearing a suit and he was all tidy. Like, clearly professionals had been involved. And, didn't he move to North Carolina or something? Mm-hmm.
He's back home.
He's back home. That's where he's from.
Yep.
He's good people.
He went to a rival college.
Oh, do you guys throw down?
No, not really.
Do either of you care?
I rarely see him.
Right. Oh, there you go. Fair enough. I never see him either.
He lives in North Carolina.
Yeah. He lives in North Carolina. But I have a friend from North Carolina who watches a lot of college sports.
Two friends.
Now I have two friends from North Carolina.
Well, I just put my hand on the mic and spoke.
I have a lot of friends. I could hear you, though, weirdly enough.
I'm trying to.
As opposed to the first 5 minutes. I should probably eat some of these, too, so that we're both eating. It's people's least favorite thing. There was one episode where all we did was eat. Matt Knutson brought an entire shrimp ring. So we ate a fucking shrimp ring.
What? I don't know what a shrimp ring
is. It's a ring of you've seen a shrimp ring. It's usually...
Oh, like a cocktail?
Yeah, with the cocktail sauce in the middle.
Oh, my God.
A
hilarious.
Shrimp ring. And I used to do a joke. I tried to do a joke for a while that never worked. Mm-hmm. People were fascinated, but it didn't have any punchlines. It was just the fascinating world of the shrimp ring. Mm-hmm. And so we ate an entire shrimp ring, and one guy emailed me, full of rage, four paragraphs of rage about having to listen to people eat during a podcast. I thought I'd let him in on the fact that the free content of a podcast, you don't really get to pick.
Right.
I'm so sorry. But so you mentioned earlier that some of your favorite shows are these dramas, mm-hmm. these one-hour dramas. Mm-hmm. Did you watch all of them? Did you watch like Breaking Bad and mm-hmm. The Wire mm-hmm. and Mad Men?
I haven't finished Mad Men. I'm way behind on Mad Men.
Oh, well, you're way not missing behind. Anything. I like the ad campaigns. Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. I'm still behind on that one, though. I haven't started this season.
Everyone dies. So, how about Outlander?
No. Everybody keeps telling me to watch Outlander.
Have you tried it?
No. I can't. I don't
you're
even
full.
Know.
Yeah, you're full. You're full of programming.
My TiVo is, like, bursting at the seams.
Right. I was on the road one week, and Andy said, have you ever watched the show Scandal? Because you mentioned Scandal,
yes.
And I said, no, what's Scandal? He watched two and a half seasons of Scandal in like a sitting. He said,
really?
It's great. And then every night he would tell me the story of the guy who goes to the AA meetings and thinks, and because he murders people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And right. And he was like, I have an addiction. It's been several days.
Huck.
Yeah. It sounds great. And it sounds like the clothes are really nice, too.
They are very nice.
I don't know. You ever watch Veep?
Yes, I enjoy Veep.
Is that a half hour or an hour?
Half hour.
Oh, that's a sitcom length.
Mm-hmm.
But it's...
it's Julia Louis. It's got to be a comedy.
Right, right. So did you see that Amy Schumer sketch with Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
No, I haven't seen... No, I haven't seen anything from this season.
Okay.
Was it this season?
It was this season. It was about how... It was her last fuckable day. And it was Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Patricia Arquette, and Tina Fey.
I heard... Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I heard...
And and it was very funny. But I have HBO Go. I have Netflix. I have Hulu. My sister's Hulu Plus. My brother's HBO Go. And I have Amazon Prime. And I officially watch two programs. I watch America's Test Kitchen.
Access to everything.
I have access to everything. And I watch America's Test Kitchen and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So
I started Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
first season. A lot of people had trouble in the first season. Because it wasn't action-y enough.
I didn't stay with it.
Well, it is. I find it very fun. But I'm a big Phil Coulson, Team Coulson. And so anything
who's that?
That's the main guy, the main, like the boring guy who's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
The one from...
From the movies.
From the Julia Louis-Dreyfus show.
Oh, really?
Wait, no, maybe I'm saying...
He was the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. And...
I think I mean
his name's Clark Gregg.
Yes, he was from.
There's an idea.
The New Adventures. Adventures of Old Christine,
or the Old Adventures of New Christine. Yes, exactly. I think she was old though. Mm-hmm.
The New Adventure. No, yeah, she's old. So it's the New Adventures
of Old Christine.
Of Old Christine, and he was her husband, her ex-husband in that.
Okay,
because he was married to the New Christine.
Oh, that's funny.
And then. He was also
yes
in an episode of Sex and the City.
One episode?
Yes. He played... So Miranda... I was really obsessed with Sex and the City. And Miranda... And I could probably win trivia games about Sex and the City.
Well, let's spend 20 minutes on Sex and the City, I say.
And he was a guy that Miranda met in one of those speed dating situations.
Okay.
Where she lied and said she was a flight attendant because every time she said lawyer, they lost interest. And he...
Is Miranda the redhead?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was an emergency room doctor, but not really.
Okay.
He lied and said he was an emergency room doctor. And the way they found out is because she cut her finger one morning after they had spent the night, and he was totally grossed out by it.
Oh, my God. What was his real job?
Now I'm about to lose the trivia game because I totally forgot what the...
Insurance adjuster. Line cook at an Applebee's.
Did he work at a bookstore? I don't even remember.
He was a...
I am slipping.
Okay, how many seasons of Sex and the City are there?
Seven.
Can I now ask all the questions I've wanted to ask about Sex and the City of you?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then whatever happens, happens. Here we go. There are four ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen probably four or five episodes, and then I've seen both of the movies.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Much to my...
Why would you watch both movies?
I have no... The second movie was so bad, I wanted to cut myself.
The movie was not great.
It was so, you know how they always, I wrote a review of it for a movie review website.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's that game, which one of the characters in Sex and the City would you be? Mm-hmm. Turns out I would have been the Arab guy that gets what's her face arrested. If I would have been in the second movie, because she was a nightmare. so when they...
I don't even remember the movie. Who got arrested?
They're in Abu Ghraib, or that's a prison.
Nice.
They're not in Abu Ghraib. They're in Abu Ghraib, and everyone's wearing haute couture underneath their chains.
Is it Dubai?
And they're supposed to be in Dubai, but get this, Dubai said that they couldn't record, they couldn't film there because it was too gross, so they had to go to Morocco. And I wish Morocco would have stuck to their guns. Anyway, but it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, rivaling a Daryl Hannah movie from 1983 called Reckless. Anyway, so... previously the worst movie I ever saw.
So you didn't see the Spice Girls movie?
No, I did not. That sounds like a horrible... So in the beginning, though, there's the four women, and they are friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they are... But they're party friends in New York, and they go to all the coolest events because one of them's a party
planner?
Well,
no, they're not party friends. They're friends.
Okay.
That's their crew.
Yeah.
And they meet for brunch on Saturdays and Sunday mornings.
Right, but they also party.
They do. Yeah, yeah. But it's not just...
No, they're not just party friends. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But they go to fancy like events because one of them
is a
party planner, right?
She's like
better than that.
I don't know. She's not
event
a
planner.
Publicist necessarily, but she's not really she gets people to your events.
Okay. Oh, she fills the room.
I don't know what that's called. She gets bring names to your event.
Okay. All right. She'll get the hot young ladies. She'll get a couple of famous people.
A publicist? Is she a PR agent?
She fills it out. She fills it. Okay. So that's what she does. The redhead, who is Miranda, she's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I always liked her the best, I think. And then there's the main married to Matthew Broderick. Sarah Jessica Parker. Yeah, she's got other... I'm in show business, but not the show business that knows anything. And but Sarah Jessica Parker's a sex columnist, isn't she? Or a relationship?
Yes, relationship columnist.
Okay.
Yes.
So relationship columnist, party filler-outer, and lawyer. Now, what does the woman who wants the dark-haired pointy
Charlotte.
Lady... Yeah.
Charlotte
is pointy, and
she's like a socialite, a wannabe socialite.
Okay.
She, in the beginning, she worked for an art studio.
Oh,
an art studio.
She'd be good at that. She'd be real good at that. I picture.
And so, yeah, she would. She sold art. She.
That's hilarious.
And then, but her goal was to get married.
Okay, yeah, and always was, right? Mm-hmm. That was the other thing about the second movie that was a nightmare. She was talking about how hard it was to have kids in the 14 seconds that she spent with her children. And she was always wearing, she was carrying like fancy haute couture. And she was like, it's so hard in between these two nannies that I have. And you're like, I don't even like you. I mean, I don't know who wrote that, because I did kind of like them in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like the first couple seasons, they were super likable and they were funny.
Yeah.
It was a super, like, what's a favorite episode from the beginning? It was before Big, even, I think, right?
I don't know. I didn't really like it in the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the beginning, the first season, like, they used to talk to the camera.
Okay.
Which made me crazy.
That is a lot.
But I liked being invested in them. So I liked when they had boyfriends and
oh, good.
And then, you know, shit hit the fan and
right.
you kind of go through it with them. With the
oh, right, right. Because they would break it down because of the sex columnist, the relationship columnist lady. Mm-hmm. she had a lot
Carrie.
Of... Carrie. She had some information. She was like...
Well, she would use their experiences to write her articles.
Right, right. Did you ever learn anything real?
Every once in a while, sometimes you'd see stuff in your own life, and sometimes you'd see stuff that you knew your friends were going through. I remember when she was out of ideas, and
okay.
she was like, one of her things was, men are socks. She's like, is that anything?
Is that something?
Is that something?
Does that resonate with any part of me that I can turn that into a column? Nope.
Men are socks. And I think that was the episode where, Charlotte tried to get her to like just choose, you know, from the first like 20 men they see, who, you know, who would you be with? Who would you?
Oh, okay. Oh, they played that game.
Yeah,
it was like your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I had a friend who used to do that whenever we'd see. It was like it's like the female, the woman version of catcalling. Because it's just two women walking around, and you'll see some dingbat, and you'll go, your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you're like,
or
nice.
If he's cute, you'll be like, so my boyfriend.
Yeah. Mine.
That's
mine,
my boyfriend.
Mine. And so it is. It's something very young women do. It doesn't, it should.
No, not really. No. my thing is, he can get it.
Okay.
If you see something cute, I'm like, oh, he can definitely get it.
Yeah, I'm available with that gentleman.
I'm like,
is that what you're saying?
Did you see the bouncer? Yeah, he can get it.
He can get it. Put me on your laminated list, please.
Exactly.
Which, Friends was the clean version of of Sex in the City. And I watched Friends only in syndication because I've never had cable.
Oh, I watched it. I watched it in...
In real time and in syndication, probably?
In syndication, yeah, not as much. Because I kind of went through it.
Oh, right.
Friends.
Oh,
I
you
loved
went
it.
Through it?
Yeah,
yeah,
I loved it. So it was, you know, that was the beginning of must-see TV. That's what started must-see TV.
I think
Thursday
that,
nights.
Yeah, that was. It was that and Seinfeld, I think. And Seinfeld was first. And then I remember my friend Jim
Never
Wooster.
Watched Seinfeld when it was on.
Never.
I watched it in syndication.
I've only seen probably 20 episodes.
Really?
When it was on, I found it mean. And because I am a tiny child. but the thing is a friend of mine, my friend Jim Wooster, he loved Seinfeld and hated Friends. He said, Seinfeld is to Friends like old Albert Brooks is to new Albert Brooks. He's like, it's the difference between Lost in America and Mother, which are two Albert Brooks movies. Mm-hmm. Guess who loves Mother? This one.
You
Jackie
like
Cation. I'm pro Mother. Lost in America kind of made me uncomfortable.
Wait, who was in Mother?
Debbie Reynolds and Albert Brooks.
Oh my God, Debbie Reynolds is the best.
Is the best.
She's the best.
And it wasn't
and
as
she
good.
She was
as...
on Will and Grace, and I loved Will and Grace.
Oh, Will and Grace. Another.
And she was hilarious.
There are sitcoms. One of my brothers watches a lot of sitcoms to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like Parks and Rec is good. Community is okay for me, but I don't watch enough of them to get invested in stuff. But he watches the worst, like, you could tell he lives in Milwaukee. It's almost like he's given up.
Well, it's so funny because
he watched like Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, that's a boy show.
It's a boy thing.
It's a boy show.
But his wife liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
And they watch Big Bang Theory in the middle.
Here's my thing. Big Bang Theory, number one show on television. I think Empire has passed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Number one show on television. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it.
Right.
I never got how it was the biggest show on television.
Right.
The biggest show on television.
The most numbers ever?
Yes. Well, currently. Yeah, it's not MASH.
Okay. Right.
But like, I'm still fascinated by it.
Well, because
and I've watched it and I've enjoyed it.
I have enjoyed it, but it's a nerd thing where I go, okay, that as a dork, I know that that isn't accurate, mm-hmm. and the primary colors kind of throw me. The costuming on it is very much a lot of bright primaries.
That's TV,
and it is TV.
It's a TV
it,
choice.
Things want to pop.
Aesthetic, yeah,
things got to pop.
And because they're so droll. I mean,
right, and the guys are all relatively normal looking, mm-hmm. but the women all look the same. They all look like like a version of those good-looking women that are on many shows.
Really?
So,
I mean, Kelly Cuoco, you know, she's hot.
Yeah.
But
is she the blonde?
She's the tall blonde.
Okay.
There's another blonde mm-hmm. who's cute. She's cute, but she's not, and because she's shorter.
Right.
And she has the voice.
Okay.
But if you just say visually, she's cute.
Right.
And then I feel like Maya looks like a girl, like a woman.
Okay.
An average girl.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know that they're... Kelly's the one, and she's the hot one in the show as well.
Right, so she's got that to fulfill.
Yeah.
So that is
that
her
was the casting call.
That was the work that was being done. Nobody was looking for TSA agent Jackie Cation. Yeah,
exactly. And, no one was looking for hospital receptionist
at this time. And
I did go in for Charlie Sheen's housekeeper.
Oh,
at
wow.
first they wanted a Jamaican housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And
can you do that? Can you
no,
do that accent?
I cannot. And I was like, why am I being called? But I can do Liberian. My parents are Liberian.
Okay.
So I just did the audition with a Liberian accent. And they were like,
that'll do.
And I was like, yeah, by the way, I can't do Jamaican. I just do Liberian. Mm-hmm, and they're like, mm-hmm. okay, thank you for your time. So I didn't get it. But neither did any woman who could do Jamaican because they hired a white woman.
Right. They went with something else.
An American. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to tell them, except for that. Mix it up.
Mix it up.
I like it. I like that there's so much television on right now, because mm-hmm. there's something.
Actually, it gives me a little bit of anxiety, because I want to watch everything. I want anything that people say is good. I want to experience it.
Right. And
I want to compare
it. Thing.
I want to compare it.
To what?
I want to see when people say this is good,
right?
And I want to be like, is it good?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to watch it. Mm-hmm. And then if it's good, I'm happy. I'm so happy because then I have a new thing to watch
mm-hmm.
to participate in. I mean, how many stories can you tell?
Right.
And obviously, it's all character driven because there's plenty of shows. It's the same thing. Like Revenge. I stopped watching Revenge.
What is
a long time ago?
It
it's a
like
nighttime
a
soap.
Mm-hmm.
Is cheesy. The finale just happened like the other night.
Is it about revenge?
It's about revenge.
Close.
It's very much about revenge.
Is it torture porn?
Because
that's my least favorite kind of.
No.
That's my least kind of favorite kind of dramas that are like Law and Order SVU.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do any Law and Order stuff, but just because I like. I get lost in the too many characters syndrome.
Yeah.
And then Law and Order SVU, I'm like. I can't start looking at every dude as a molester in a rapist place. I cannot do it. I refuse to do it.
I also watch those shows and think the guest stars get to do all the fun stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
oh, I would be on Law and Order SVU in a heartbeat. Sure.
Yeah. The detectives, it's, you know, like the CSIs. Oh my God. I mean, actually, I think they have, those shows have gotten to a place where they're starting to give the main characters
something
to do other than look at specks of dirt and fingerprints.
Right, right.
That
or sort of an episode entirely about them.
Yeah, like
they
do have like every once in a while they'll have a storyline. Like one guy, I remember because I used to watch CSI Miami, and the one guy had a drug problem that caused an issue at work and blah blah blah. And so, but it, to me, it
NCIS,
wasn't
one of the characters, his sister came in. She was attached
to
some
it.
Murder, and you know that's a spinoff of JAG. Did you know that?
Yes.
I never watched JAG.
Yeah, I watched a couple of episodes of JAG, but...
I think I missed the boat on
who,
the...
Who was the character? Was it...
I always think of the dad from Coach. I'm wrong. I don't remember. Oh, it's God. Some bullet head. Some buzz cut bullet head. He's no Mark Harmon, I'll tell you that.
I was going to say, so was it Mark Harmon?
Okay. No, Mark Harmon played up. And then I've tried to watch NCIS Los Angeles. It's hard, only because you're like, wait, you're in Santa Monica, but you're not. Why are you in Eagle Rock? And
for me, watching NCIS Los Angeles, I keep saying, but it's LL.
I know. That's the other thing, is that it's always distracting. And that was my problem with Law and Order. I was like, is that Ice-T? Why is Ice-T?
That motherfucker has been acting longer than he rapped. He has gotten to the point. I mean, how long has
20 years of
it's insane.
More.
And I have mad respect for him.
Yeah.
For he's, I was about to use the phrase, keeping it real, if you will. He's still him. Like, if you see him in interviews, he does not put on.
Right.
Like, I know I've changed. When I get on camera in an interview situation, mm-hmm. especially if I've never met the person, I've changed. I'm a little bit different. I try
I'm on my best behavior when I meet, especially if I want them to like me.
But, and I always want them to like me because I'm a fucking needy freak.
Exactly.
But also, I'm also like trying to look good for my. For the NBC family.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I don't do that on Twitter and Instagram because I fucking cuss too much. But
you're on task if you're on, you're at work.
Chances are I'm representing the show because I'm promoting the finale or whatever it is.
Right.
Ice has been the same silky smooth motherfucker
and
who
outspoken.
Doesn't give a fuck.
He does not. He will say whatever. And you're like, and yet you continue to work. It's a beacon of hope.
I love him for it. And I respect him for it. And I was never really into his music.
Mm-hmm. I had one of his albums, as I always have one of everyone's albums.
I will say the one time that I think he was kind of putting on a persona was he used to host. Remember when I said something about being on the panel for a VH1 show?
Yeah.
He used to host a show called The List. Did you ever do The List?
I did do The List. My host was...
It was that girl, Debbie.
It was the guy. It was Henry Rollins.
Oh no! Okay, so my
your
host
was
Ice-T.
Ice.
That's that season. Ice was the host, and when I met Ice, I had seen Ice at the Comedy Store years before, and I remember seeing him sitting in the back of the audience, and I kind of like. Because I knew who he was, like giving him the head nod and him looking at me. And I'm sure people give him the head nod all the time.
Right.
So he kind of gave me a head nod back. Right. But he didn't know that. I mean, I think you saw me do stand up for, do my 5 minutes or whatever. But he didn't fucking know me.
Right.
And I remember saying to him, because I didn't know what to say to him when I met him. I was like, oh, we met once at the Comedy Store. We never fucking met. I just did a head nod.
Right.
So Ice introduces me to come onto the panel and he's like, she's a stand-up comedian in whatever my credits were at the time. And then he says, and I hung with her at the Comedy Store and I laughed so fucking hard because I was like,
okay, he's like the rest of us. He too would like to be liked.
And I hung with her at the Comedy Store. I was like, I don't know if y'all heard, but Ice used to hang and shit.
Who was on your panel? Do you remember?
Because my
panel was the craziest.
It was pretty random, and I honestly can't remember. But I think who sings "These Shoes Are Made for Walking"?
Oh, holy shit! Someone's yelling at their iPod right now. Go for it.
Does she have a father?
Yeah, she does.
It was her father.
Oh, her dad?
Yes, her dad was on the panel.
It was like Frank Sinatra. No. You were on the panel with Frank Sinatra.
I was on the panel with
the
ghost of Frank Sinatra.
I can't remember either. The Doors, his name is Ray. He just died.
Oh.
Like 5 years ago.
Oh my God, I cannot believe who was on my fucking episode.
Right. Uh-huh.
I can't think of it.
Here's what I'm going to do, because I think I do want
Nancy
this.
Sinatra, so it wasn't Frank Sinatra. I just made that up.
Right. So you take a second.
What was the... Maybe someone did a...
I will fix it.
No, that's not it. Who the fuck was on my...
Who was on your list, Pat?
IMDb, hold on.
Zarek.
Who's that?
Ray Manzarek from The Doors.
Oh, that's who was on your thing. Yeah. It's not even on here. I don't even know.
Okay, so you were on the list, and it was Ice-T hosting it, and then...
It's not even on my IMDb. That's how
12 years ago it was.
No love that show got.
Right, right. And mine was so weird because I had Steven Seagal, who was wearing not just one, but two kimonos.
No.
Yeah, he was wearing a red one and then over it, a blue one.
No.
Yes, and he had just found out or paid someone to tell him that he was a reincarnated Dalai Lama or something. And not the Dalai Lama, but like a Buddhist monk or something.
Oh, my God.
And him and Henry Rollins got into it backstage.
Really?
They had a tiny... very tense exchange about $20 that Henry Rollins had given Steven Seagal 25 years earlier that he never got back.
$20?
$20.
They could have squashed it $40.
Right. Seagal should have just pulled out of his shoe the grand that he keeps there just in case he gets hit. And but it was Ray Manzarek from The Doors, Steven Seagal, and the guy from Friends who played Chandler's roommate, who was also in Saving Private Ryan, a great actor.
Joey?
He played the Jewish soldier in Saving Private Ryan. He played Chandler's
Ross? The guy that was Ross on the show?
He played a short-lived...
Chandler's roommate?
Short-lived Chandler's roommate.
Oh, the Scientologist.
Is he a Scientologist?
Adam. Adam something.
Yeah, it's Adam something. And they were all... And we were asked to give these... you know, you remember that show? You had to come up with songs that fit like a theme.
Well, they gave you songs. And then I was like, well, I don't want to choose that. They're like, well...
It's going to be funnier because you're the comic
relief. Nancy Sinatra's dad is doing whatever.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's,
but it was,
and then the audience would applaud
and
say it was the best. No,
right?
It was not.
Who the hell
no.
was it?
I can't remember. Who? I mean, fuck. She was... oh my God, it's going to make me crazy.
Well, we'll phone it in. We'll tell people on Twitter when this drops.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is so I picked Do They Know It's Christmas?
Uh-huh.
As something as like one of the most moving songs of the world. And I picked it because it was absurd and funny. Uh-huh. And Ray Manzarek got kind of mad at me. And he goes, you know, the people who did that recording, they didn't get paid. And then the money never made it to Africa. And I said, did you know that they don't know it's Christmas either, that they're Muslim. And they cut that fucking, great line I've ever had on one of those damn panels. You know that right after Jack Tripper, what's his name? What's his real
John
name?
Ritter.
John Ritter. Mm-hmm. John Ritter died. I did Tough Crowd, and they wanted a John Ritter joke. Uh-huh. Right the Friday. He died on the Friday, and they wanted a John Ritter joke.
He died on the anniversary of September 11th.
Did he die on September 11th?
The anniversary of...
But it would also have been a September 11th?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It would have also been... But not on the original. Not on the very first September 11th.
Right. It was like 2 years later or something, right?
It was... Yeah, pretty sure it was like the anniversary of...
And don't think 12 years later I'm still mad. I'm not mad about... Because I did the show was going to keep going, but it was going to call... 8 Simple Rules I Ignore Because My Dad Is Dead.
Oh, boy.
And, and the thing about Tough Crowd is that it was a ball-busting kind of show where you're like, why wouldn't you air that? That's comedy gold right there. It's mean. It's dumb. What's wrong with all of that? It's got everything going for it for Comedy Central. Why would you take that off the air? And
Oh, my God. I'm still trying to find the freaking list.
Here's what I want you to think about, because we're at an hour, is what you would recommend people watch or read or a handbag purchase or save up for. I always ask for recommendations at the end of it all. And Retta, you are, by the way, unforrettable on Twitter and Facebook.
And Instagram and Snapchat.
And Snapchat.
And Periscope.
Periscope?
Yes.
Periscope.
Yes.
And Unfo, UNFO, Retta. Which is your name, RETTA, BLE, Unforrettable, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. And
Unforrettable.
She sings, you guys.
I am.
I do. I still remember that great, that opera.
My big closer.
That was a closer for years, right? Oh, still using it?
For years. I will not let that shit die.
Why would you?
I still do the first joke I ever wrote.
I don't have a problem with that. I think there's people who are like, you can't do those old jokes. And I'm like, sure I can. Mm. They still work.
Yeah.
And that's why they're just in the back of the vault in case I need them.
I'm like, that's a sign of a good joke.
That's a good joke.
If it still works.
And if nobody's heard it before,
shit.
On board, they're going to love that damn joke. Anyway.
My big thing is when I do shows now, I haven't written a new joke in years. Years. I haven't written a new joke. Well, and every time I do a show, I'm like, if you've seen me before, chances are you've heard these jokes. Strictly the hits. As if I've ever.
Right, like, why not? There you go. Here we go, folks. These are the jokes I'm doing.
Yep.
Well, what about, so you would recommend The Good Wife?
I would recommend The Good Wife, Scandal
Empire,
but only from
saying?
The beginning.
Oh, because it...
From the beginning. Scandal's kind of gone a little bit off the rails. I still enjoy it.
What season
But if
are
you
in?
Watch it from four, I believe.
Okay, so the first two were the best so far? Andy
no,
loved
there's
them.
Been, but there's pieces in Three. The new seasons that are still
that are great.
Great,
too. Yeah.
The Good Wife, there was a... Last season, there was a little bit that was like, yeah, a little bit of a drop. And then they just fucking came back so strong. I'm like, God, I love whoever's the musical supervisor on The Good Wife.
Okay.
They're so, like, my heart, the choice not to put music in certain scenes.
Yeah.
My heart was racing through some of these episodes. And it's not, you know, it's a law firm. It's not like a...
Right, right. The nothing's, the world is not changing.
Yeah. It's not it's Independence Day. Like I'm fucking, as if my heart raced during Independence Day. But, you know.
First time I saw it, I really liked it, you guys. When he punched that alien. I really liked that scene. And well, Retta, thank you so much for doing The Dork Forest.
No problem.
Finally, one-on-one. And we had the conversation. And it's great. Thanks for listening out there. Take care.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?